The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I am here in studio today, the last day actually in the old studio, hoping to move into the new studio in the palatial North Shore 104.9 studios next week. So this could be the last day in this treetop studio, now moving over to the Outlook, maybe we can call it, that's going to be overlooking Enon Street. But here we are, Sunday morning, bright and early. Winter, it's behind us, folks. It is springtime. Red Sox have opening day Monday morning. That's right, Monday afternoon, I should say. But you know what? It feels like opening day already. They started off first game of the season against the Phillies. It was a great start, an 8-0 win. And we've got a great year ahead of us. And, of course, you can pick up every Red Sox game right here on North Shore 104.9. And I'm so delighted to be part of the studio and be part of the family that's here. And we are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. You may not know it or not, but we've the past couple weeks we've had a couple repeats of shows, and that's because I've had the good fortune of doing some traveling. I had the opportunity, I'll tell you about this, I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to travel to Hong Kong and Thailand. Not places that I would have normally planned on traveling to, but I got this invitation to speak to a bunch of financial advisors, Australian financial advisors, in Phuket, Thailand. Now, I didn't realize it was called Phuket. Phuket is actually spelled P-H-U-K-E-T. Apparently, I didn't listen very closely in my geography class in elementary school. I thought it was pronounced a different way, but I now know that it is called Phuket. And I had a wonderful time over there and learned a lot about financial planning and the financial needs of individuals in Australia, which is very different and an interesting kind of culture than what it is here in the United States. I want you to imagine a couple things, a few things that we learned about. Number one is when you go to work in Australia, it doesn't matter whether you're working for McDonald's or whether you're working for IBM, your employer must put 9.5% of your pay, an additional 9.5% of what your compensation is, into a retirement plan for you. They're required to. Now, this is over and above what the government might provide to you as a Social Security check. Every employer must put in 9.5% of your pay into a retirement plan. It can be into a government-funded plan, or it can be into a personally funded plan that you, where you direct where the investments are going to go. But here's what the interesting catch is. Under no circumstances, absolutely no circumstances except for death, that is the only out, you may not touch this money. So in reality, under no circumstances can you touch it because you'd be dead and the money would be going to somebody else. So think about that. Imagine if there was a forced retirement plan in America where your employer was required to put 9.5% of your pay away. You got to direct where that money went, and it would be dictating upon how much money you'd probably have in retirement. And you could not, for whatever reason, no hardship, no first-time homeowner purchase, no first tuition payment for college, you cannot touch this money until at earliest age 55. Imagine what would happen if we were all required to do that, if all employers were required to do this. And get this, here's the second part of it all. As an employee, can you put money into this plan? Oh, you bet. And there's no limitations like there is that $5,500 limitation for an IRA or a $20-some-odd thousand for a 401k. You can put in, if you make this much, up to $125,000 each year into your retirement plan. It's a pretty good deal, and it's probably one of the reasons that Australia is one of the most stable, most prosperous economies in this world. There's a lot to be learned from what goes on over in Australia. I know I learned a lot. And here's another interesting fact. And imagine this. You know, in America, the election process, and we're going to be going through a presidential election in a couple of years, and we do elections here all the time here in the States, but elections here are voluntary. You might register to vote, but you're not required to show up at the polls to vote. Imagine if we lived in a country where you had a response, not only responsibility, but a requirement to vote. And if you didn't vote, your passport would be revoked. Imagine that. If you did not vote, your passport would be revoked, or your driver's license, or your form of identification would be revoked because you didn't do your national duty of going to the polls. Is that a good thing? Do we need to have requirements for voting? I think there's pluses and minuses to it, significant pluses and minuses to it. I think more so when it comes to voting, I think it would be really nice if at least you were required to show an ID rather than point to the piece of paper where the registrant that's sitting there at a table is guessing and agreeing based on eyeball contact that you actually live at that address. I mean, how many times could you go back and forth to that table or other tables and look where the blank line is and say, yeah, I'm Joe Smith. I live at 15 Salem Street. And you look at the next sheet and you go down the next. I mean, I think that's a ridiculous system. I think we need to have identification, some form of identification, to have a proper check and balance system here in this country for voting. But would it make sense if you were required to vote and there was a penalty for not voting? I think that raises a whole bunch of other questions, but just something that's very interesting that we can learn from other countries, even the most successful, the most stable countries that are out there. I find it very interesting. So here on Dollars and Cents, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand, I try to bring you a perspective on what's going on both here in the United States and all around the world, but mostly here in the States as it relates primarily to your retirement. And one of the things we're going to focus on today's show, and our show runs about an hour from 8 to 9 o'clock. We take a few breaks here and there. Each segment's about 15 minutes, or I should say probably 12 minutes or so long, because we've got to take some breaks to let our sponsors identify themselves. We're going to talk about the 10 common investing rules that no longer apply. The 10 common investing rules that no longer apply. You know, retirement today is different from how it was years ago. Think about it. A couple generations ago, when your parents or your grandparents prepared for retirement, they simply stopped working with the company that they had been with for, say, 20 or 30 years, or maybe even more. When they retired, there was a retirement party. They got a gold watch, probably, and a nice little party. They then went on a cruise, and they started collecting their pension from the company. They had the pension. They had their Social Security income. And maybe they had a little bit of extra money, but for the most part, they lived on something that was called a fixed income. Their fixed income was Social Security plus their pension. And that was all. You use that term, fixed income, was a big term that was used for many, many years. But today, life's different. Today's life's different because there is no such thing as fixed incomes anymore, really. And there's also the reality that you're going to live a lot longer than your parents and grandparents ever lived. I mean, take a look at your family room. Take a look at in the dining room and the living room in your house. And look at grandma and grandpa and great-grandma and great-grandpa. How do they look in those pictures? Do they look old? As they sit around the dining room table for Christmas dinner, for Easter dinner, at a graduation party, at a wedding, do they look old? Yeah, they probably do. And you know what? They're all probably younger than you are right now. That's a pretty scary thought. To think that when they were in their 50s and 60s, they looked old. But you know what? You don't look old. You look great. You may not be feeling 100%, but you know what? You know that you're doing a heck of a lot better than the generations before you. And the likelihood of you living to 80, 90, and even 100 are very, very possible. In fact, there's a 50% likelihood that if you're 65 years old today, you will live until at least 90. If you're 65 years old today, there's a 50% or better chance that you will live till 90. Think about this statistic. Of everybody that has ever been 65 years old. So let's think about all the people that are 65 years old today and those that who have also been 65 years old. They may be, if you're 80, sure, you were 65 at one point. If you've got a great-great-grandfather who died at 71, he was 65 at one point, right? Think of all the people in the history of this earth who were ever 65 years old. Did you know that 80% of those people are alive today? 80% of all people who are age 65, who were age 65, are alive today. Folks, retirement is different, and the common rules of thumb around investing have changed. And if you're still living in grandpa and grandma's style of investing as you plan for your retirement, you could be in some serious trouble. I want to make sure that doesn't happen. And today we're committed to giving you those 10 common investing rules so that you no longer are making investment mistakes. A couple other things that we're going to talk about today. Number one is I want to remind you about our newsletter. Our newsletter comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30. In fact, the 10 common mistakes were in this week's newsletter this week. If you'd like to get the old newsletter, you can just drop me an email at Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. Or if you sign up for our newsletter, for the ones coming up forward, all you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. At the very bottom of my website, there's a button that says, sign me up for the newsletter. You click on that button, put in your email address, and there's a place where you can drop in a note that says, Mark, hey, send me last week's newsletter, and you'll have all of this information. There's more than 5,000 people who get my newsletter each and every Friday morning, and I want to provide it to you because you deserve financial advice in a language you can understand. There's a lot of different places where you can get information about planning for your financial future, and a lot of it is complicated. But I will tell you this, planning for your financial success is not rocket science, and don't let anybody lead you to believe that it's more complicated than you can handle. The issue is you just sometimes choose not to handle it. Look, I'm sure that fixing a toilet isn't all that complicated either, but we'll hire a plumber to do it. If our disposal breaks, we can probably replace it on our own, but we hire someone else to do it. We know we can cut our own lawn and shovel our own driveway and hang wallpaper in our house. It's not rocket science to do it, but, you know, sometimes we choose to delegate those responsibilities. We pay for services so that we can enjoy doing what we love to do. So today what I want to try to do is give you some advice, give you some pointers, giving you some tips on investing mistakes that people have been making over the past few years so that you won't make them. And if you say to yourself, you know, I don't want to worry about this stuff anymore, but I know that it's complicated, and I know that I want to delegate that off to somebody else, well, I'm happy to talk to you about that. But we're happy to talk to you about it when we're talking about the big picture, when we're talking about everything in your financial life, not just how should I invest my 401k, but, oh, my God, I'm approaching retirement. I'm approaching retirement, and I've got so many decisions to make. I got to consolidate all of my retirement accounts. I have to decide whether I should take the lump sum or the pension. I've got perhaps an inheritance that's coming for me. I'm perhaps in a second marriage, and I'm not quite sure how to allocate the money to my previous wife or to my current wife or to my kids or my wife's kids. Lots of those questions. If you want to have all of that kind of wrapped up, you want to have that all packaged up so that you can feel comfortable as you move into retirement, I want to be able to help you. If you'd like that help and guidance, I'm offering every listener to this show a free initial consultation in my office. All you need to do is call my office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Nobody's there today, but the machine certainly works. You leave a message for Jody, tell her you'd like to schedule an appointment with me, or perhaps you just want to chat with me sometime next week. Leave the message, and we will get back to you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to start with our 10 common investing rules that no longer apply. We'll be right back. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Spring is a great time to get organized and protect your identity. Shredderbox makes it safe and easy to purge old records. You can mail in, pick up, or drop off boxes of documents for shredding securely. Shred-a-Box is the only video-recorded confidential shredding service. With every order, they'll send you an email with a video and a certificate of destruction. Residential and professional services are available for any size job. Start your spring cleaning today. Call 844-SHRED-BOX. Online, shredabox.com.
Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater is celebrating 60 years, and you won't want to miss a single show. The extraordinary 2015 season will begin in June with a dazzling all-new production of Dreamgirls. Then let the hilarious Shrek the Musical show you that beauty is truly in the eye of the ogre. Your boogie shoes, because NSMT will be staying alive with Saturday Night Fever live on stage. The season continues with the unforgettable 10-time Tony Award-winning musical Billy Elliot. And the season concludes with the heavenly musical comedy Sister Act. Become a season subscriber and see all five shows from the best seats in the house locked in at the lowest prices. For subscriptions, tickets, and information, visit nsmt.org and make a memory to last a lifetime.
No worries, no schedules, and no commotion. Wouldn't that be a great way to enjoy your retirement? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and Peabody, and host of Dollars and Cents. Retirement is filled with rewards, but there's lots of confusing information out there about IRAs, 401ks, and Social Security benefits. You know, planning for retirement can be downright frightening. Isn't it time you got financial advice in a language you can understand? For over 40 years, we've helped individuals and families like you wade through the minutiae and focus on the big picture. If you're ready to get serious about your retirement plan, let's meet and discuss investment strategies that are right for you. For a free initial consultation or an information kit, call me at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Friedman Financial is an SEC-registered financial advisor.
Are you looking for a fence? Northeastern Fence is the largest supplier of quality fences on the North Shore. You'll find everything in stock to fix, knock down, or put up a fence, from pickets, posts, rails, and gates to tools and fences. Stop by Northeastern Fence on Route 1 North in Saugus to see their fabulous fence showroom and outdoor display. They're open weekdays and Saturdays. Get your fence supplies today. Online, northeasternfence.com.
If I had a $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's about a quarter past the hour, a little past 8:15 or so. We've got Red Sox opening day coming up tomorrow. Well, they've already opened their season, but opening day at Fenway Park starts tomorrow. And, you know, let's see what this Red Sox team can do. A lot of new faces, a lot of new bats. A lot of new arms, a lot of new enthusiasm, because, hey, it couldn't have been any worse than what it was last year. But, you know, let's see if we can go from worst to first again. And, you know, the best news of the day was when the Sox opened up the season last Monday, and the Red Sox won and the Yankees lost. So, hey, everything's good. Whenever I hear the Yankees lose, that's always a good thing, at least in my opinion. At any rate, I promised you today we were going to talk about the 10 common investing rules that no longer apply to investors. And we're going to get to that. We're going to do that in this segment. But I want you to imagine this first. When I was in Thailand a couple weeks ago presenting to a bunch of financial advisors, I used on this gigantic screen, I showed a picture of a mountain. I want you to imagine the picture of a mountain. Just you can go up the mountain, you can go down the mountain. You can see that triangle shape. But then that mountain had this enormous cloud that dropped over the mountain that covered maybe the top fifth of the mountain. All you could see was the little crest of the peak of the mountain on the top. And then for the next, I don't know, fifth down on the mountain, the clouds were in the way. And I used that as an illustrative point because I wanted to use that as an example in trying to explain how investors view planning for their future. Now, I think that as you begin climbing up, you know, let's imagine you're going to try to go up that mountain and down the mountain, of course. As you go up the mountain, going up the mountain is rather easy at first. You're not winded. You're not tired. You have all this excitement, all this enthusiasm. You've heard all these great things, and you want to try anything to try to give yourself an advantage. So during the first part of the climb, imagine that's the time when you get your first 401k. You have the opportunity to start putting money aside. Then you start making a little bit more money and you think, hey, I can save for my future. I can start putting money into 529 plans or college plans. I can put money aside in my 401k or personal investing accounts. And that's your little trek up the mountain. You want to try to put as much money aside as you can, pick the best possible investments. But that's really all you care about at that point. Are you worried about retirement in your 20s and 30s? No, you're not even thinking about that. You're excited about the fact that you might have a few dollars left over at the end of the week that you might be able to save. So the first few years, those 20s, those 30s, even the early 40s, it's really not that hard as long as you're committed to doing something. There's a lot of enthusiasm. You're willing to try anything because you know what you say? Oh, I can be pretty aggressive. I can be pretty risky. I can go ahead and buy Alibaba stock or Dunkin' Donuts stock or GoPro stock or whatever it might be and run the risks to see what happens. And then all of a sudden, you start to approach your 50s. And as you're approaching your 50s, you're beginning to realize, ooh, those big expenses of putting those kids through college are really about to approach. And how many more years do I have left before I have to start considering retirement? And do I have enough money to retire? Have I put enough money aside? What if the market crashes in the next 10, 12 years? What will that do to my future? And that, folks, is when you begin to enter the clouded area of that mountain. Remember I told you, imagine that mountain. Then at the top fifth of that mountain, there's this giant thundercloud that's still sitting there. And you walk into that cloud. And you really can't see what's in front of you. You know that you have to still keep going up. But you don't know how much farther you have to go up. Do you know? Do you have to spend more money? Do you have to save more money? Do you have to be more aggressive? Do you have to be less aggressive? It's scary because you don't know. And then all of a sudden, just when you think you've got it right, you realize, oh my goodness, I've reached the top. I've reached the top of that mountain. And you begin to wonder, now what do I do? Do I have enough? Because there's no more up to go. Now it's all down. Now I got to start getting down the mountain. And do I have the right tools? Do I know where everything is and what it's all worth to help me figure out the strategy so that I can get down the mountain? Because think about this. Maybe at that peak, your job just ended. Maybe at that peak, you have to start collecting Social Security. Maybe at that peak, you have to make a decision on 401k rollover versus a lump sum. Maybe at that peak, you have to start consolidating all of your investment accounts. Maybe at that peak, your spouse says, I'm done. See ya. You just never know. But it's scary up at the top. The view's kind of nice because you can celebrate the fact that you're ready to retire. But that view on the way down is pretty scary because I'll ask you this. What is scarier, climbing up the mountain or climbing back down? I think many people would argue that the tougher climb is the one down rather than the climb up. Especially if you're climbing down into a thundercloud where you can't see your footing and you can't see what's below and you can't see how far there is to go. That's the time when people need to really start to rethink. Because in the years past, in the decades past, there was no cloud on the other side. There really was no cloud at all. It was very clear. When you retire, you'd get a pension. When you retired, you'd get Social Security. When you graduated college, you'd have a job. That's not the way it is today. We have to think differently. We have to do differently. So let's jump into our plan here of talking about the 10 common investing rules that no longer apply. All right, here's number one. The old school rule was that the percentage you should have in stocks is 100 minus your age. We all heard that. That said, if you were 70 years old, you should have 70% of your money in bonds, 30% should be in stocks. And there's many people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s that, in fact, have even more money in bonds. Actually, most of it's usually in cash. I find this more so that it's not necessarily in bonds. They might be 80 or 90 years old, and they have 90% of their money in cash and 10% in stocks and sometimes nothing in stocks at all. The reality is in today's world, especially with interest rates being as low as they are, the reality is that you need to rebalance your portfolio to grow consistently. The idea of the old rule of 100 is that the younger you are, the more risk you can tolerate. But as the market crash of 2008 proved, recovering a 30% loss is not gaining 30%, but gaining 50%, because you're rebuilding from a shrunken base. Think about this. If you had an investment that went from 100 to 80, you can say you lost 20%, right? You went down from 100 to 80, you lost 20%. But if your account goes from 80 to 100, did you gain 20%? No, you really didn't. You'd have at 96, you'd be gaining 20%. You actually gain it a little bit more. So it's not an even swap off here. It's important that as you get older, I'm finding that most of our clients and most people who do this successfully, whether it's on their own or through a firm like ours, if you're in your 60s and your 70s, your investment portfolio is probably 60 to 50% in the stock market. And I'm not talking about individual stocks. I'm talking about investment companies, these collections of investments that are available, whether they're mutual funds, variable annuities, ETFs, whatever you might want to choose to use. 50 to 60% there, and then 40% or 50% in bonds and cash. Think about that. We need to rebalance our portfolio and get it back to something that's a bit more manageable. Rule number two of the 10 common investing rules that no longer apply is the old school said retirees should be in bonds. I think that's a big mistake. I think that's a big mistake because retirees need growth. Look, we haven't seen inflation in years here in this country, and you all know it's coming. And if you're invested with all of your money in bonds, fixed investment vehicles that pay an interest rate, you run the risk of not getting enough income when the cost of goods go up. You also run that risk if most of your money is in cash. And you know how piddly the income is that's available in banks right now and CDs and checking accounts. It's non-existent. You need to do better. You can do better. And you don't have to take that much risk. I think when people hear the word risk, they hear lose all my money. But imagine if you could take a risk that says, okay, maybe you can get 3 or 4% in your money. And there may be years when your investment fluctuates up or down 5 to 10%. Well, that means you could get a little bit more than 4%, but sometimes you could get a little bit less than zero, and that can be a concern. But it shouldn't be too big of a concern because it's usually not a long-term phenomenon. It needs to be something, you need to build a strategy that makes sense. Putting all of your money in bonds, all of your money in cash, can be a dangerous approach, a very dangerous approach, unless you've got a pension that will provide you an income that is more than what you need, unless you have Social Security and pension or other resources of income that provide you more than what you need. One of the things that you need to be careful about, and I want to be absolutely certain that I'm saying this on the radio today, is that even though these are common investing rules that no longer apply, there's no one rule that works globally for everybody. Everybody's situation is different. Your sources of income will be different. How you choose to spend money will be different. Think about it. We've got clients that say, Mark, I couldn't imagine spending more than $3,000 a month in retirement. I couldn't imagine spending more than $3,000 a month in retirement. And then there's others that go, Mark, I couldn't imagine spending less than $20,000 a month in retirement. What's correct? Who's right? Neither. It's what your lifestyle is. I would guess, and this is purely based upon the research and studies that we do in our own office, is that most people that we see in our office, most people that are great clients for our office, generally will spend somewhere between $4,000 and $10,000 a month. That's spending. So where that money comes from, it could come from Social Security. It could come from a pension, and it could come from income growth and distributions you take from your investment accounts, your annuities, your insurance policies, whatever it might be. But the $4,000 to $10,000 bracketing, if you will, is where I find that most retirees can comfortably retire. Now, there will always be those that need to spend more, always those that need to spend less. But there's a certain characteristic about those that spend between 4 and 10. I call them the mass affluent baby boomer. If that's somebody who you think you are, hey, I'd love to talk to you about it because it's what we specialize in at Friedman Financial. We can really give you that overall guidance as to how you can go ahead simplifying, consolidating, crystallizing your financial life so you can begin to see a better financial future down the road. If you'd like to talk to us about that, our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. I almost forgot my own phone number. I can't believe that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. One quick reminder before we do go, I want to remind you about our free newsletter that comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. It is called Planning Pointers. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the website. At the very bottom, it says sign up for Mark's newsletter. You click on the button, put in your email address, let us know how you heard about us. You can drop me a note, send me a comment if you'd like, but whether you do or not, if as long as you hit that OK button, you'll be signed up for our upcoming newsletter, which will come out this upcoming Friday at 10:30. We've been doing it since 2009, and more than 5,000 get distributed all around the world, actually. If you'd like one, feel free to sign up for it. Go to my website, once again, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. We're going to take a quick break. We got to get out of here so we can let our station partners identify themselves, and we will be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I don't have...
Learn the how-tos of photography, videography, digital editing, and much, much more at Thea Studios. Enrollment is now open. Located at the historic East Mill in North Andover, you'll enjoy Thea's creative learning space. That's a whopping 4,000 square foot working studio. Inspiration awaits you in every corner of Thea Studios. Take your photography to the next level with classes and workshops at Thea Studios. Register today. For more information, visit theia-studios.com.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody and host of Dollars and Cents. Do you like what you're hearing on today's show? Does our approach to financial planning make sense to you? If you answered yes, then I'd like to learn more about your financial goals and objectives. You see, our team at Friedman Financial can help you put your financial house in order and keep your focus on the big picture. Sure, we manage money for you, but if you're like most of our clients, you want someone who provides advice in all areas of your financial life too. Think of us as your rational sounding board for financial questions and direction. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial plan, we're here to help you with the strategies to get you there. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's just about half past the hour on a beautiful Sunday as we approach a day before opening day at Fenway Park for the Red Sox playing the Washington Nationals. A great way to start off the season here. Hopefully the weather will be reasonably nice on Monday. I try to stay away from Fenway Park in the month of April because it's just a little bit too chilly for me. I'm going to head down and actually in the next couple weeks with my son Noah during April school vacation, and we're going to go try to catch a Nationals game in Washington, D.C. It's interesting that the Nationals will be playing the Phillies, and the Phillies are who the Red Sox opened against, and the Nationals are who the Red Sox will open against in Fenway. We're going to see those two teams play down in D.C., and I'll give them a chance to see the sights and get around. I've taken all of my other kids to D.C., and Noah, who's 13, reminded me that we've never had a chance to go, just the two of us. So we're going to go in. And by the way, hey, if you're listening to the show, and if you've been to D.C., and you've got some recommendations on places that I should take my 13-year-old to, you know, I've done all the traditional stuff. We'll go to the Smithsonian. We'll go to we'll go to all the traditional places. I'm definitely taking them to the Bureau of Engraving. If you've never been there, it's a great thing to see how they make money watching that. That's pretty cool. But if you got some restaurant recommendations, if you got recommendations of things to do, places to see, hey, feel free to go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. You can sign up for my newsletter, but you can also drop me a little note that says, hey, Mark, I'd recommend that you go to this place. I'm always looking for new ideas. I want you to also remember, you can follow us on Facebook. Friedman Financial does have a Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/FriedmanFinancial. You can find us there. I do tweet on Twitter. If you would like to follow my handle is at MSF, which stands for Mark Stewart Friedman, at MSF Financial. That's my Twitter handle. You can certainly follow me there as well. But we are here in studio today, this Sunday, a beautiful Sunday, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And we're up to part three of our 10-part conversation around the 10 common investing rules that no longer apply. The first two that we talked about was number one, that old adage of the percentage of stocks you should have is 100 minus your age. That is long since gone. Old wives' tale. Stop doing it. You need to rebalance your portfolio appropriately to your situation. Number two is retirees should really focus their attention in bonds. Absolutely not true. I think you need to find the proper mix that fits. In fact, growth is a very important component that retirees should have in their portfolio. So here's number three. And number three I laugh at because as I was getting into this business in the early 90s, I remember my father showing me all of these life insurance projections that a lot of life insurance salesmen would show, which they were selling these things called whole life insurance and universal life insurance, oftentimes referred to as permanent insurance. And what it talked about was what you made a premium payment, a certain amount of money that you put aside every year to buy insurance, but it would also be a savings account for you. And they would show this performance of growth to show you that if you continue to put money into this life insurance policy in 20 years, in 30 years, not only would you have life insurance, but you'd have saved so much money. It was really remarkable when you saw how much it was because these salesmen were really good with their highlighters. They would highlight these pages, circle things with their yellow markers, circle that big number. But when you looked at what the projected rate of return was that they were counting on, it was somewhere between 8 and 12%. Now, who in their right mind is going to give you some type of a projection these days that's going to say, we expect this portfolio to grow at a rate of 8 to 12% over the long term, almost making the assumption that it could even be, dare I say, guaranteed. It wasn't, but I think that word was used a lot. So believing that your account is going to grow at a regular rate of return of 8% is probably not all that accurate because you got to factor in a few things. Number one, there's a thing called inflation. And when you think about inflation, the inflation impacts the purchasing power, the cost of what it is to buy or sell goods in the marketplace. I mean, the cost of milk has gone up. The cost of a movie ticket's gone up. The cost of gasoline is, well, that's gone down. Yeah, but things will go up and down. You know that. You know that. So if you're building a portfolio, I want you to think about this. If you're a portfolio that is 100% in bonds, there is no way you're getting 8%. You know that. You're lucky to get one or two, especially after inflation. We tell clients that if you want to think about an investment portfolio, if you're invested, say, 60% in the stock market, 40% in the bond market, you should hope for, over time, a rate of return somewhere between 6 and 8%, that's gross, and then take out inflation into that. So maybe you're going to get 4 over time. You have to be realistic. There are so many people that figure, well, I need to get 12 or 15% on my money. Folks, you might get that on one of your investments. You're not going to get that collectively on your portfolio. If you did, go work for Warren Buffett, because he's the guy that's doing 12 and 15%. But no one's about to throw all of their eggs in Warren Buffett's basket either. We have to be realistic. And here's the other reality of everything, is that chances are your returns do not reflect what the mutual fund companies say your returns are. Because chances are you add money, you take money out. So you have to be realistic and you need to make sure that the financial advisor you're working with, if you're working with one, is actually producing you statements that accurately reflect your performance. If the only statement you're getting from your financial advisor is one that they're producing in-house, I would say that you are getting suspect rates of return. Suspect rates of return. What you need to get are statements that are compliant, that are overseen by some governing body that says this stuff appears to be accurate. Just based upon what your investment advisor says they can do out of an Excel spreadsheet, I think that's really sketchy, to tell you the truth. All right, number four. In retirement, it was believed in retirement that you could live on roughly 75% of what you need today. You probably heard that. If you're spending $4,000 a month now, in retirement you'll probably need $3,000 a month. I don't believe that. I actually think it's probably closer to the same. You're going to spend differently. You will spend differently, but healthcare costs are going up. The way you spend money, you'll travel more. Maybe you'll be more generous with your children. Does that all count as expenses? Of course it does. It's money that's leaving your household. You're just classifying it differently. You're just classifying it differently. So whatever you're spending today, is likely what you're going to be spending in retirement. So how do you go about figuring out what do I spend today? The best way to do it is to go to your bank account. Pull out your bank statement, and at the very top of your bank statement, it probably says total withdrawals, total deposits. Take a look at that withdrawal number. It might scare you, but that's the amount of money that came out of your account this month. When you look at the withdrawal number, ask yourself, does any of this money reflect money that has moved from one bank account to another bank account? Meaning you might have saved some money. So exclude that, but then figure out what that net withdrawal money is. Then I want you to go back and grab the previous five statements over and above the one that you have. So you have a total of six. Add up all of those numbers. Divide by six, and you're now going to see the average amount of money that you spend every month. And you might look at that and say, well, you know, this is the year we had to put in the new roof, or we had to replace the driveway, or there was a boiler we had to buy, or we had the wedding. Folks, there's always going to be something. Just accept that. Accept that there will always be something, and find what that average number is and say, okay, this is what we're shooting for us to be able to retire upon. This is the monthly amount that we're going to need. And that's likely what you're going to need in retirement too. So capture that number. The sooner you have a handle on that number, all the better. So we've been through four now, four of the common investing rules. We're going to give you one more, and then we're going to take a break. Old school rule number five is to withdraw 4% annually from your portfolio, and you'll never run out of money. I never got this. There was this study that was done by a guy by the name of Bill Bengen. And Bill Bengen did a report that said if you had a 60-40 portfolio and you took 4% of your money out of your portfolio every year, whether it was growth or dividends or whatever, over time you would never run out of money based upon all the iterations, all the history of what everything's done. And you know what? If you ran it through a computer modeling system, you would see he is right. Every computer modeling system would suggest that he was accurate. But you know what happened? Bill Bengen then retired himself. And he tried his system in reality. And what Bill realized was the computer models are nice, but they don't reflect reality. There are times in your life when you need a little bit more than 4% from your portfolio. There are other times when the market doesn't perform to your liking. There are other times when you might want to add money to your portfolio, and there are other times when you want to get more and or less aggressive in your account. Computer modelings don't do that. Computer models don't have feelings. You do. You get emotionally stressed out when you hear tough stories, you know, over the radio, on CNBC, on CNN, wherever it might be. You hear about great investment opportunities that something's out there and you want to make a little change to your portfolio. Computer models, they don't hear that noise. They don't care. And if you lived in that vacuum of that computer model, yeah, it would work. But you know what, folks? The 4% rule doesn't work because it's not true to life. What's interesting, though, is I believe that it's not about 4%. I believe you could probably take 6%. I'm not suggesting that you take less. I'm actually suggesting that you take more. If it's managed properly, if you're not running it through a computer model, if you're recognizing that there are years when you might need to take a little bit more, take a little bit less, I bet you could average about 6% if your portfolio is managed properly. So here's what I think. You got to stop worrying about these silly rules of thumb. And that's what we've been talking about today, the rules of thumb. We've talked about five of them. The first five that we've talked about today is, number one, the percentage of stocks that you should have in your portfolio should be your age minus 100. That's a horrible wives' tale, and we've explained why. Number two, retirees should not be in bonds 100% anymore. Retirees need growth. Number three, expecting an 8% growth rate on your portfolio may be a little overachieving. Expect something closer to 6, and also remember that inflation will play a part in that. Number three, in retirement, it was thought that you could live on about 75% of your spending lifestyle. I would think that's more closer to 100%. You should plan appropriately for that. And number five was the fact that you could withdraw 4% from your investments and not run out of money is not a likely scenario unless you are a computer model. We need to factor in life. And in fact, I think you might be able to take out a little bit more if you plan this appropriately. All right, so that's five of our rules, five of our common investing rules that no longer apply. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to run through the other five and perhaps a few other little things as well. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Are you tired of the quality of your indoor air system? You can get comfortable air fast with Swampscott Refrigeration. An expert dealer in leading brands, Swampscott Refrigeration will advise you on the best home comfort systems and either repair or upgrade yours. You'll find comfort in knowing that Swampscott Refrigeration has a dynamite maintenance staff, too. When you're ready, call the experts at Swampscott Refrigeration, 781-592-1519. That's 781-592-1519. Online, swampscottrefrigeration.com.
Are you facing critical decisions that could impact your retirement income? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial, and since 1968, we've been providing comprehensive financial planning and investment advice to individuals residing on the North Shore and throughout the Merrimack Valley. We can help you plan for the retirement of your dreams. Call me today at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, a financial planning firm located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We provide financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore and in the Merrimack Valley. If you'd like to come in and talk with us, if you'd like to share your financial story and perhaps get a serious overview about what your financial situation looks like so that you might be able to get some guidance as you plan for retirement, I'd encourage you to give us a call. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you want to learn a little bit more about the firm or sign up for our free newsletter, I'd encourage you to visit our website. That's FriedmanFinancial.com. Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. All right, we've been sitting here in studio today providing you with those 10 common investing rules that no longer apply. And I've given you five of them. And I want to give you five more before we get out of here for the day. So I'm going to fly through these rather quickly. Get your pen and paper ready and let me know what you think. If you agree with them, disagree with them, feel free to drop me a note. My email, my direct email is Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. All right, here's rule number six. The old thinking was, for a comfortable retirement, $1 million, $1 million, and that's from... Who did that? That was Danny DeVito from Twins. I think they said $10 million. No, it wasn't the other guy. My producer Andrew's making the face. You know, you put the pinky up to your mouth there. Doctor who? Doctor Evil. Doctor Evil. That's right. Doctor Evil. The $1 million. I think it might have been $10 million, which was Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger in Twins, but. It used to be believed that if you had $1 million, you could hit the number and you would be a comfortable retirement. The rule today is a comfortable retirement for many is $2 million. If you have $2 million, you'll breathe a heck of a lot easier. However, if your intent is to spend $3,000 or $4,000 a month, you don't need $2 million. What you first need to figure out is how much money do I need to live every month to support my life? When you know that number, then it's a lot easier to figure out how much you really need. Because think about this. If you needed, let's say, $8,000 a month to support your lifestyle, but four of it was coming from Social Security and a pension, then you'd need another four from your investment account, $4,000 a month to come from your investment accounts to support your lifestyle. Well, $4,000 times 12 is $48,000. If you had $1 million, that's 4.8% on $1 million. That might be enough money to support what you need in retirement, though you'd need some growth to go along with it, of course. You wouldn't need $2 million. But we have to stop thinking about what the number is as it relates to accumulated assets. What we really need to think about is what do we need to spend every month or every year to support our lifestyle. With that, then we can do actual real live planning. All right, here's another one. Number seven was, you probably can retire on the income numbers projected on your 401k statement. I hate this. If you've got a statement with John Hancock, with Fidelity, with Vanguard, with MassMutual. A bunch of these companies are now showcasing on your 401k statement what your retirement income could look like if you continue making contributions to your plan at the level you're making them. And people actually believe those numbers are going to come true. Folks, there's so many things that could happen between your contribution today and the day you retire that those statements are a little misleading. In fact, I think they're a lot misleading. Think about it. If you don't have a job a year from now, how effective are those numbers going to be? Because they're projecting on the fact that you'd continue to save money into that plan forever. What if you're thinking of leaving your job, or the 401k gets canceled, or there's a lot of different things that could happen? Or the stock market goes in another direction, or you're being way too conservative with your money based upon the options that are available. You got to stop believing that statement. Talk to somebody to make sure that the projections that you're planning on are in line with what that statement might be saying. Folks, you cannot rely on that statement. It is a very scary thing to see. Number eight, I believe we're at, is compound. The old school said, compound interest is magic. Invest early and watch from your easy chair as your investments grow. Sounds great. And I would believe that compound interest would work if there was an interest rate that was out there that was nice. But can you get 15% in your CDs anymore? No. Can you get 10%? Can you even get 5%? No. It's not about interest anymore, folks. It's about what's called total return. It's about a combination of interest and growth, and making sure that you're also considering inflation, taxes, fees, everything that's involved in an investment strategy to make sure that you're staying on track. Just setting it and forgetting about it and not considering all of the implications of the investments that you make on a regular basis can be a challenge and may be a very surprising outcome as you approach retirement. Another old school response was, I can rely on my inheritance. That only works if your parents die on schedule and don't leave a pile of medical, legal, and other bills behind. I can't tell you how many people I have run into, how many survivors I've run into that are very disappointed to learn that mom and dad didn't leave them the kind of money that they thought they were going to have left to them, which is rather sad. In fact, there are other times when children have already started spending what they expected as an inheritance before mom or dad even died. In fact, I'll tell you a quick story. We had a client that had 12 children. Yes, 12 children. And it was her intent to leave her estate and her assets split evenly amongst her 12 children. Well, she had lung cancer. And the kids thought for sure she'd be gone quickly. But mom was a fighter. And mom worked through it and survived 7 years from the time when she was first diagnosed with lung cancer. Well, during that time, one of the children had thrown a very elaborate wedding for his daughter, a wedding that he could not afford. But he felt that he could afford it as soon as he received the inheritance he was expecting from mom. And so mom outlived it. And now mom passes away. And we go to the wake. And at the wake, all the children are there. They're grieving. And one of the children comes over to me, this child that had thrown the wedding, and he says to me, how quickly can I get my share of the money? Mom is laying there in a coffin as people are expressing their grief. And he's wondering how quickly he can get his money. Folks, if you don't think this happens, it happens all the time. And I told him, I said, it's really not that simple. We need to get signatures from everybody, and we got to do a lot of work. I said, but honestly, let's not talk about this right now. Come to my office tomorrow. Come to my office another day. I'm not going to get into this. So sure enough, the next morning, the lights came on in my office. He was already standing there waiting to come into my office, and he wanted a share of his money. And I told him, look, we've got to get signatures from all 12 of your siblings. And he gets mad. He says, well, they're all heading home. He says, why couldn't we have done this yesterday when everybody was here? And I just didn't think it was appropriate to do it at the wake. In fact, I wasn't prepared to even do it at the wake. And he starts getting upset at me because he says, bill collectors are on his back and they want to get paid for the wedding that he threw for his daughter and he needs the money. Well, I don't think that was the expectation here.
I don't think that was the plan, but I will tell you this. Don't plan on an inheritance for your retirement. Look, mom and dad are going to live a lot longer than you ever imagined. And hopefully they will use every penny that they can to give themselves the best possible life they can. And if there's money left over to you, all the better. But there's no rush on when it's going to come to you. So don't plan on it right away. And finally, last thing, old school, is that formulas work. They're math, aren't they? That's what many people think. As long as I run these things through some robotic schedules or robotic calculations, my financial plan will come out right. I will tell you this. The number one thing that I promise to our clients, when you come in to visit with us and we do a retirement projection analysis and I show you, here you are at age 59 and at age 92 you will have X number of dollars still left over. When I show you that analysis and I show you with all good sincerity that we used, we under-guessed what your performance would be. We lowballed it. We wanted to show conservative numbers. The one thing that I tell you from all of those projections, whether it comes from me or any other advisor or any other piece of software that's out there, the numbers are guaranteed to never come true. The numbers are guaranteed to never come true. And that's because life happens. It happens. It works really well in a computer program. You've heard of these things called robo-plans or robo-advisors. That all works if you never, ever intend on making a change. But life happens, folks. You've got a kid's wedding to pay for. There's college there's graduations. There's college payments. There's a divorce that happens. There's helping mom out with money, helping the kids out with money. There's loss of a job. There's a new job. There's all sorts of things that happen in your life during retirement. Remember, when you retire, let's say it's at 65, if you're planning to live till 95, which is a very reasonable number, that's 30 years. Think back 30 years from where you are today. How many times did things change in your life? Lots of things to think about. Lots of these rules need to be thrown out the door and reconsidered. If you'd like to talk to us about the rules and how it applies to your financial life, I'd encourage you to come in and visit us for a free initial consultation in our office. Our firm is Friedman Financial. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. If you'd like to call us for an initial consultation, the phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We got to wrap things up. I'm going to get out of the studio today, and I think today Billy Costa is coming in to start up his new show today. I don't even know what the title of the show is, but it's a food show. I know that, and I'm getting hungry already. You know what? I can actually smell the food in here. So Billy's coming in a little bit. Yeah, I think he starts at 10 o'clock today, so enjoy the day. Hang on, listen into the tune into the radio show, and we got to get out of here. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.